Grace to you and peace from God our Heavenly Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our reflection this morning is from the book of the prophet Malachi, where he records, "The Lord declares, they shall be mine when I make up my treasured possession." This is the word of our Lord. You may be seated. One of the truly remarkable characteristics of the Bible is found in its age. This collection of writings inspired by God and handed down from one generation to the next for thousands of years is still extraordinarily timely in light of all of the exceptional changes that have happened in our culture over time. So much of the Bible still contains a glimpse into human life that could have easily been written in our generation instead of 100 generations ago. And this word before us today is yet another example. It was approximately 2,500 years ago that this prophet by the name of Malachi recorded what was going on in his world. The people of his day were disillusioned. They had expected more from God. More wealth, more power, a higher standard of living, more prestige, and so they complained about God. And we read what they said. "It is vain to serve God. What is the profit of our keeping his commands? We call the arrogant blessed. Evildoers not only prosper, but they put God to the test and they escape." I find it incredible that those exact words apply in 2019 Racine, Wisconsin, and nearly everywhere in our culture. In today's common language, it might sound a little more like this. "What's the point? Why bother with this religious stuff? We admire the people who really make a name for themselves. People don't care what God has to say. They grab what they can and they seem to be just fine. So what's the point of following God anyway?" 2,500 years later, and not a whole lot seems to have changed. A lot of people walked away back then. They walked away from true devotion to Yahweh, and they just started to kind of go through the religious motions. A great many walk away today, or just go through the motions. Some walk away in arrogance. "I don't need God. I'm just fine." Some walk away in anger. "Where was God when I really needed him?" Some walk away in indifference. "Religion just isn't my thing. You know, whatever." Well, whatever the reason, many walk away. Jennifer just walked away. Now, I should clarify that Jennifer isn't her real name. I always ask someone before I share a personal story of theirs in worship, and I'm no longer able to do that, and so we'll call her Jennifer. She grew up here. She was baptized here. She went to Trinity Lutheran School and was confirmed with her class. She went on to Lutheran High School, graduated, went on to college, stayed in the area. I mean, she was very much a part of this Christian community. And then she walked away. Perhaps there was a specific reason, that I don't know. Maybe she just figured, what's the point? After all, she had become successful. She had a good job, good friends. She was attractive and popular and had two children that she dearly loved. And by all accounts, she was a nice person, laughed easily, and enjoyed life. What was the point of following God when she was taking care of this life just fine? Until at about 40 years old, a cancer diagnosis changed all that. And over the course of her battle, she was no longer able to take care of life just fine. Increasingly, other people had to take care of her as her illness progressed further and further. And I first met her when it was increasingly clear that her life on earth was soon to end. Her sister called, because Jennifer had come to realize that she felt a long way from home, and that was troubling. Not a long way from her house, of course, or from her family, who surrounded her with tireless love and care. No, she felt a long way from her Lord. When the end of life is imminent, that can be troubling indeed. And so, perhaps, it was thought that a visit from a pastor might ease the burden that she carried in addition to this burden of grave illness. Jennifer knew that she had been the one to walk away from God, not the other way around. And as we met, she made no demands of God. She didn't shake an angry fist at her condition or try to make some kind of a deal. Instead, she wondered aloud if it were fair of her to come back to God after being away for so very long. She was a living example of Jesus' parable of the prodigal son, the young man who finally humbly came home and simply said, "Please forgive me." Jennifer just wanted to come home. And through her grave illness, she so sweetly asked one day, "Will God know where to find me? You see, I've recently moved." "Yes, dear Jennifer, God will know." Every one of us knows how circumstances like that can cause us to reevaluate, reconsider our own relationships with God, that which is fundamentally important. And it may be a diagnosis like Jennifer's. It may be the loss of a job or a family member or something else that we cling to with all our might as if it will preserve our security and happiness until it's gone. And what happens then is we are forced to consider our relationship with our Lord. This is the end of the church year, the time when it is prescribed to commemorate the return of Christ in victory, a time when we are encouraged to consider our response to God. Throughout the year, we follow Jesus from his birth in Bethlehem through his extraordinary life as a teacher and healer. We follow him all the way to the cross to see that extraordinary sacrifice. We celebrate the victory of Easter day and his return from death. And then we follow his disciples as they establish the church and we continue to learn more about God's will and his ways. Until we come to this day, established to celebrate Jesus' return from heaven. All this week is dedicated to looking ahead to the great day. It is a day of anticipation, to be sure, but it is also a day of final reckoning. As we read at the end of these verses in Malachi, "Then once more you shall see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between the one who serves God and the one who does not. On that day, we will all be held accountable by God for the countless times that we too have walked away from God in one way or another. You know, in your own heart, as I do in mine, what walking away from God looks like in your own life. Maybe there were times when you too were motivated by arrogance or anger or indifference. Maybe it was never intentional, never intended to be permanent, but you just got caught up in that same temptation that seemed to win the day over and over. Maybe you are just trying your best to walk with God, and yet you know that even then you still stumble time and again. Whether you feel near to or far from God today, hear again today's gospel to be reminded of the lengths to which God will go to find us right where we are. It may seem odd that we read about Jesus' death on the cross so close to the beginning of the Christmas season, but that's exactly the point. We look back at what Jesus did for us on the cross, even as we consider what will happen when Jesus comes back on that final day of judgment. Jesus promised that repentant man beside him on another cross who finally turned in faith to Jesus, and he heard those words, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Jesus' desire for you, for every one of us, is to offer his amazing grace. He calls us to come back to him, to be humble and repentant instead of angry or arrogant or indifferent. And listen again to the promise that God made to the people in Malachi's day who desired to walk with God instead of away from God. He said, "They shall be mine when I make up my treasured possession." Now, what greater assurance could there be than to hear from Almighty God himself, "You are mine"? On the cross, Jesus turned to that repentant sinner and he declared, "You are mine." In the waters of holy baptism, the very name of God is placed upon us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and none other than Almighty God declares, "You are mine." And every time we gather together and come back to God with repentant hearts, and we hear those profound words of absolution as spoken by Christ himself, "You are mine." Now make no mistake, the day shall come when God truly does separate the righteous from the wicked once and for all. By faith in Jesus Christ alone and what he accomplished for us on that cross, we can know even now that the Lord looks at the faithful, even us, and declares, "They shall be mine." Repent, return, and rest in God's amazing grace, even as we wait for the Lord to make up that treasured possession and take us home. Amen. And may the peace